A thought for today. My brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. My brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. My brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. Now, throughout our lives, we are rather confused as to what's doing the work, our brain or our mind. Well, our mind is the universal mind. Our mind is the infinite mind of all, the one mind, the mind that knows everything, that is everything, and that is available to us, but it's available to us through our brain. We have no way to touch the mind except through our brain. Our brain either is well suited to capture the brilliance of our mind or not. Years ago, we had a direct connection. We would sit at our typewriter and our brain, capturing the brilliance of our mind, would reveal ideas and stories and magnificence onto our typewriter, onto the sheet of paper that is in there. And clickety-click, out would come these beautiful ideas. And then we developed the computer. And the computer has in it chips that allow it to function in many ways. Now, the computer has a chip that is a spell check. It checks things as long as we have them phonetically spelled halfway decent. It'll make it sound correct. People will read our work and say, my, what an erudite, well-educated, learned being that is who spells so beautifully. Those are lovely big words that he uses. My goodness sakes, he must be brilliant. Well, we did use the words, it's true, but we didn't know how to spell them, and we weren't always sure how to use them, so we used up the thesaurus or the spell check to see if we were doing it correctly. Of course, this is a good way to learn. But we're letting the computer and the computer chip do a lot of that. Well, our brain is like this computer. Our brain has a chip in it. And that chip says, you are so many years old, you've had so much education, you were paying attention while you were in school or you were not paying attention. And so therefore, you have these tools to work with. And a beautiful idea comes into your mind. An idea that says, oh, let's take Mark's idea. I'm going to build this rotary engine, not a rotary engine, but it's an engine that works on a circle principle, with pistons and all the other good things. And it's going to be very small, maybe 20 inches across, 18, 20 inches. It's going to have 8 cylinders, and it's going to be exceedingly quiet because I'm making the rotary shifting of the pistons in such a manner that they interlock and interbrace with each other, and the combustion is going to be so complete that there will be no exhaust virtually coming out the back end because it will be completely burned up in the engine used as compression power. Oh, my goodness. My goodness, my goodness. Where did he get that brilliance from? Where did he get that genius from? Wow, what a brain he has. Yes, that's true. What a brain he has. You see, when Mark was in high school, he didn't like school very well. And he would take his flying magazines and he'd put it behind his school books and he'd read those in class instead of English and literature and other subjects that he was taking. So those subjects went by the way. And through the best interests of Dame Fortune, they passed him. Shouldn't have. Should have kept him back, because he sure didn't know the things he should have known coming out of high school. Well, when he finished, I said to him, "Mark, I think it'd be great if you would go on to flying college and go down to Florida there and learn how to fly," which he already knew how to do, but learn the techniques of it, become a pilot with multiple engine type and IFR, VFR, UHF, and all that other good stuff. And then also, you take another course down there in aircraft engine and design, how to build them, and then you take other courses that might please you. And he says, "Dad, I know what I want to do. I want to learn about airplanes, and I want to learn about this, but I want to learn about it by myself. I don't want teachers who are going to tell me I'm good and bad. I want to read these books and study it myself and know that I'm good and know that I'm wonderful, know that I can do it." And I said, "Mark, you're fantastic. I'll buy you any books you want. If you promise to read them thoroughly, I'll buy them for you, and you'll have all the books you would have had in a college education, and you'll be your own teacher." He says, "That's my idea." So we bought these books for him, all the books that he would normally have had in a college program of the schools down in Florida or wherever they are that they teach aeronautics and what have you. And Mark studied these, and he was never much of a student, but he studied these and did beautifully. And I went in and checked him, because I knew what to check him on. And I'd flip open the book and I'd say, "Mark, on hydraulic systems, now, how do they function? What's their purpose? And how can they be improved?" And he'd tell me. And then we'd go into aerodynamics. And I'd say, "Why is it the aerodynamics of a normal plane are limiting and keeping the plane from having its maximum lift and thrust and so forth?" And so he'd explain it to me. So I'd step into other areas of his engineering books and his study books, and he was brilliant. And then I'd say to him, "All right, now, show me where in the book it tells about hydraulic lifts for the wheels to move them up into the housing of the plane." And he went to the book, took a book out of the shelf, let the book fall open. He said, "Right here." And it was right there. I asked him several other questions of leading nature, and he did the same thing. Reached for a book, let it fall open, and there it was. "My God, that kid is brilliant. My God, he'd make a wonderful magician. My God." No, he's God for himself. He's not your God. But he's wonderful. He's wonderful because he stood on his own feet to do his own thing. And we can each do this too. We can train our brain to be attuned to capture the brilliance of our mind. Mark trained his brain to be in tune with the brilliance of his mind. He knew that I had to see certain things to show me that he had done a good job, so that I could give him even more to help him along his way. And he did. He did excellent. But he didn't do it because of me. He didn't do it because he wanted me to help him in any way. He did it because he did it for himself. He did it for himself all the way. Now, there are people around him who chagrined his activity and thought he was incapable of doing such magnificent things. I would oftentimes speak to people about him, and they'd say, "Oh, come on now, you're just a father proud of your son." I said, "Okay, you go meet him." And everybody who meets him, as you well know, falls in love with him right away and has absolute confidence in his ability to do everything that he does. And he does it exceedingly well. He's taught his brain that it has the capacity to draw upon his mind for all the wisdom he chooses to have in any area. And when he speaks on philosophy, he speaks with wisdom. When he speaks about human relations, he speaks with understanding, and not compassion, but empathy for whatever is going on. When he works with his employees, he is considered to be a superior employer, a superior boss, because he is in tune. Where'd he get all this genius? Where'd he get all this wisdom? His father was an employer. His father did a lot of these things, but his father never taught him because he wasn't old enough at the time. But Mark would sit in the office, my different newspaper offices, and sit at his drawing table. He was 6, 8, 10, 12, 15 years old. And as he did these things, he would listen. He would listen to how I conducted the office, of how the business was run, of how I handled the bookkeeper, and how I handled the accountant, and how I handled the typists and the composers and so forth. Now, I'm not saying that I was him, but I was saying that I was his sharer, his teacher, in a little degree. But he did the most work. He put it into motion. He put it into expression for himself, and he trained his brain to receive the absolute wisdom of the universe. Whenever Mark has something to consider, he becomes quiet. He's quiet much of the time anyhow. But he becomes quiet and he listens within. And as he listens within, the answer is there. The answer is there for all of us. We don't have to wonder where our wisdom is. We can begin by training our brain to receive it, to be in harmony with the wisdom that we already are. We are like a bank. And in that bank, we have an infinite amount of money. And it's our money. And we have a perfect right to use it. And no one can take it from us. It'll never be removed from that bank except by us. But we don't have the key. We don't have the key to get in the bank to get our money. And we say to the locksmith, fix the key. No way. No way. Banks are something I don't fool around with. We say to the policeman, that's my money in there. I want to get it out. Prove it to me. Why would anyone be such an idiot to lock their money in the bank and not be able to get it out? Well, humanity is perhaps an idiot like that. Humanity has told itself that it must go to school to learn things. Where do you think the first knowledge that humanity learned that is being taught in school came from? It came from the mind. We can go direct. We don't need to go through a priest to find God. We don't have to have a guru to show us the way to God. We don't have to have a teacher or sharer to lead us on our path. They're fun. Sometimes they're beneficial, getting our training of our self in order. But you see, as a sharer and as a person who works with you on your spiritual path, I cannot lead you on the spiritual path. I cannot take you to the spiritual path. I cannot do anything for you on the spiritual path. I can only help you develop the tools which will allow you to be effective on the path. I can help you develop the tool of excellence, develop the tool of perfection, develop the tool of unconditional love. Wow. Unconditional love by itself is just a whole clutch of keys that open every unimaginable door. You haven't even begun to realize the doors that unconditional love can open. Very few people have it. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And I show you obedience. Yes, obedience. And humility. I show you how not to feel sorry for yourself. how not to blame anyone else in the universe for what's happening in your life. And on and on. And as I show you these things, you want to bite my head off. You want to get angry at me because I'm not compassionate with you and understanding of your hurts and pains. But that's the role that I have. The role to give you these tools, the tools that you don't want. You really don't want these tools. You don't want to give up feeling sorry for yourself. You don't want to give up the thought, I haven't got a clue, I don't know what to do. And then you haven't got a clue and you don't know what to do. Just like the old lady who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. We're like that. We have so many areas that we want to improve on and bless and let be a benefit to us that we just don't know what to do. Which one do we start with? Think about these things now. Think about these things. My brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. When our brain is one-pointed, how can a brain be one-pointed? It's by the things that it considers and works on. If you had a car, and you had that car finely tuned, by yourself, your own inner genius, you would be able to run that car on virtually no fuel. You would be able to have that car run on its tires for years without wearing out. You'd be able to have those engine parts run for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of miles, and they wouldn't wear out. Just look at it. Here we are. 20 years ago, that's not long ago, you all remember that. 20 years ago, cars had a 20 and 30,000 mile guarantee. They were good for 20 or 30,000 miles. Many of them ran for 100,000, but they were good for 20 or 30,000. And then there were the built-in obsolescence made them of no value. So what happens? They had to be turned in. But today, cars have a minimum of 100 to 150,000 mile guarantee on them. What makes the cars so different today? Are the metals refined to such a wonderful degree today that the cars can have a longer lifespan? Is their date of obsolescence postponed longer because the cars are made of such superior metal and the craftsmanship is so superior? In part, yes. But it's basically the same metal. It's basically the same craftsmanship. It's just honed to a little higher degree, which they could have done before. But they wanted to give it more play because they were told they had to have a certain tolerance, and the tolerance that they had to have was what wore out the engine. Mark's new engine is going to blast away at a wonderful peak so that it burns the fuel most efficiently, so there's virtually no exhaust whatsoever. Now that's quite a teat. And yet we're building engines and we have to have these pollution control burners within the engine itself, the catalytic controls. And when we have these catalytic converters working in there, we're adding extra limitation to the engine, to the car. So if we didn't have to have the catalytic converter in there and we had the engine tuned up like Mark is doing it, we could probably have a million miles on the engine. And then as they tuned up the other aspects of the car with the axles and the transaxles and all of the other gadgets that are on a car, if they were all tuned up to the high quality that Mark is requiring, they would probably, they'd be forever. And then, if the cars are going to last forever, they're going to have to design them in a very superior way so that they will look like they'll last forever. But where are all these ideas going to come from? Many people have come up with the idea that water can be used in a car to operate it. Now, some were successful to a degree, but perhaps not. It'll come. It'll come when we'll burn air, or when we don't burn anything, we just have an idea. Go down to the filling station and buy an idea. I'd like to run this car for 200,000 miles. I'd like a 200,000 mile idea to put in the gas tank. That sounds silly, sounds erratic. It sounds unreasonable, it sounds crazy, but that's what dreams are made of. That's what the brain's purpose is to do, to touch into the infinite cosmos, touch into the infinite mind that is in it, and grab a hold of these unreasonable, unimaginable, outrageous things that no mind in its right context would ever believe in, and it's more, no brain would believe in it. But when the brain is attuned to the idea that it can capture the brilliance of the mind, the brain does wonderful and grand things. The brain is ready to operate. It is ready to receive. It is a computer that's turned on. And when it's turned on, it can do all things. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready to do all things? Are you ready to let your brain be so attuned to who you really are, your divine self, your grand and glorious and beautiful self, that you can capture the brilliance of your mind? My, what a wonderful possibility. It's a possibility that is so outrageous, and yet it's true. Whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. These were words said 50, 60 years ago, maybe more. These were words that were said back in history. Every philosopher has said something of this nature. Let's believe it. Let's believe it. Let's experience it. Let's enjoy it. Let's have fun with it. Because that's what life is all about. That's what life is all about. It's all about being ourselves and having fun. But who is ourself? Who is that magical being that we are, that our brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of our mind, and the brilliance of our mind is without limit? You want to write a beautiful story about anything? Tell your brain I can write, not I have writer's cramp, not I have to only write when I feel like writing. When you think the thought and write. When you think the thought and put it down on paper. When you think the thought and take out a tape and speak it. If you're going to say to yourself, I can only write when I'm in the mood, well, then you can only write when you're in the mood, and I can guarantee you, when you're in the mood, your writing isn't all that great because you're not disciplined. You let yourself believe that you can only write when you're in the mood, and so therefore, when you feel that you're in the mood, then you write, and it's not all that great because the really great ideas were flowing through your mind when you weren't in the mood. The really intimidating and delightful and charming and uplifting, amazing ideas that flow through our mind. I was in the Swimex this morning, swimming away, and I had the idea. My brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. And I jumped out of the Swimex, and I ran over to the table, and I dragged my hands off and wrote it down so that I would have it to share with you this morning. Why bother? Because I'm sharing it with myself. I'm reminding myself that my brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. Well, Herb, you're already this and you're already that. So are you. So are you. You're already everything too. Does that mean I don't want to capture the brilliance of my mind? Hardly. I want to capture the brilliance of my mind because it's fun. Yes, I'm working with you. Yes, that's my job. Yes, these are things that I will do. And if it's not you, it'll be others, and it is others. And that's another story too. But the big thing is, each one of us want our brain to be attuned to capture the brilliance of our mind. And the only way our brain can be attuned to capturing the brilliance of our mind is for us to love our brain, to cuddle our brain, and to think of our brain as a wonderful, joyous thing. You don't take your head and bang it against a stone wall because you upset that delicate balance in your head of your brain. You don't put alcohol into your brain because it destroys cells in your brain. Though you have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of cells, every cell that you destroy in your brain through misuse of foods or chemicals or drugs or anything means you have less ability to capture the brilliance of your mind. For when you take a pipe and you let that pipe build up calcium deposits inside of it, the pipe is able to channel less and less of whatever it's pouring through there. The water runs slower and slower until it's finally but a trickle. People's hearts are like that. The arteries and tubes in their heart, they get clogged up. And the doctors make a check and find it, and then they run a Roto-Rooter up there and clean it out. And they put stents in there to keep it open, so that because it's weak now, and it could flatten out and kill the person. Oh, these wonderful modern medicine things. If they had just said, my arteries are perfect, my body is perfect, my heart is perfect. Start putting these thoughts in and let the brilliance of your mind flow through you as perfection. We're returning to our original purity and integrity when we are healing ourselves or being healed. And to return to that original purity and integrity is to return to the brilliance of our mind, waiting right at the periphery of our being. Yet it's surrounding us and in us and through us, waiting for us to use it, waiting for us to enjoy it completely. So join with me now in thinking, my brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. Know that. My brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. That is such a wonderful statement. It is such a fulfilling statement. It's something we can do about it. And what we're doing, we're taking the Roto-Rooter of our consciousness by saying, I am brilliant. And that cleans out some of the calcium in there and lets our brain act. I am intelligent. More of the calcium is taken out of there. More of the minerals are taken out of there. I am unconditional love. And then a big blast, and it's like an iceberg dropping off, and the tunnel is open more and more, the channel between the brain and the mind. It's fantastic. My brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. My brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. My brain is attuned to capture the brilliance of my mind. And that's just a token of how much I love you.